Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say...
W-G-N.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, America. A 9-month-old baby has been charged with attempted murder in Pakistan.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Because the baby's family beat up a police officer during a protest against gas company workers trying to collect overdue bills.
Oh, you bastard.
The baby cried when fingerprinted. Pakistan may be the only country with a pre-K prison. The nice part about going to prison when you're 9 months old is even if you get 30 years, you're still young when you get out.
Isn't it delightful?
Let me see that thong.
A Florida woman wearing only a thong ransacked a Florida McDonald's. Employees, who have since been fired, uploaded the video to the internet, and it is the latest viral sensation. When you watch it, you can really see her McRibs.
That is hot.
Her McNuggets, her Quarter Pounders.
Hello.
Her Big Macs.
Hello.
Her fruit and yogurt parfait.
I don't know what that means.
Her McMuffin.
Oh!
Her banana smoothie.
A what?
Would you like to be arrested manhandling that sausage burrito?
I'm loving it.
Drive through, please. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Allstate Glass Box on your Blackhawks, Cubs, Nation Mothership, the 720 Dreamliner, the Super G, WGN, Chicago. And it is the middle of the afternoon. Tom Skilling is here.
Hello, Gary.
The ace forecaster from the Tribune Company.
Well, my word. Thank you very much. Happy hump day.
There's no denying that. I know you're too modest to say it, but it's true.
Well, that's very nice of you. Have you seen
that video that I just talked about there?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
Wow. I liked your description of that, though. It sounded,
this
sounded
woman
like quite a menu.
Is on a rampage,
mm-hmm.
and they just let her start throwing cash registers around, and then wow. she goes behind the counter and starts throwing refrigerators and things around. And
wow.
I guess the policy is just to let her do whatever she does and let the police handle it.
And was this an employee?
No.
Somebody who came in, huh?
Person who came in. And the employees, you can hear them commenting as they're watching the security video. They retreated to the back room while this is going on.
Oh, my
and
word.
Their commentary is on the video. So then they uploaded it to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And McDonald's, I'm sure, was not happy and that they fired them.
Well, remember, there was wasn't it within the last half year that somebody broke the drive-up window because they were mad there weren't McNuggets
yeah.
or something like that?
People have tried to crawl through that window.
Gee, I mean.
Called the police if they don't have enough pickles on their Big Mac. It's insane out there.
Chill out.
Yes.
No, wow. I wonder what her problem was. Did they ever say anything more about
it? Well, it just came out today that she might be bipolar. They could name a new drink after her, the bipolar shake.
Yeah. Boy, they've clearly hit her on the downside of the cycle, didn't they, with that?
They certainly did. And then she goes behind the counter, and she puts her mouth under the spigot for the ice cream and just opens it up. And,
well, I can understand that. That's pretty cool.
That's good ice cream. I'll give you that.
That is. So Eddie Schwartz always said that's what he wanted to do. You know, just go in there. He honestly said that and, open up the spout on
them. Yes. Well.
Remember that, Eddie? You were.
Yes, I do, Tommy. How are you?
Very well.
Eddie Schwartz.
And I didn't disagree with him. I mean, it sounds like a heck of a way to go.
Well, when you're 700 pounds, I don't think that is the way to go anymore.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. That is heaven, though, when you think about it.
It is.
And I'm in heaven right now, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Boy, the connection is very clear to me.
Isn't it?
It is.
It's fantastic.
Marvelous. Yeah. Are you using a cell phone? Or how exactly
just
are you
all I have to do is talk, and it comes right over the speakers.
Is that right?
That's the beauty of being in heaven.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, Ty, we're going to step away for just a few minutes, and then we'll get a forecast of this.
Yeah, you're going to like this. This is a Gary Meyer forecast.
I hear it's beautiful down on Earth.
It is.
It's beautiful at heaven, too.
Come on down and join us.
I wish I could, but they don't allow any revisits.
I see.
Let's let this play out.
Sports and Eddie Schwartz.
It's a toe tapper.
Yes, it is.
From
Super G.
Gary, I've got these two radios over here. I told you, leftover from Fermi. I'm going to send them over to you.
Yes, I'll give them away.
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We won't need them right now or in the next few days.
No, I think, things could get interesting later in the weekend. But until then, we're in the longest warm spell that we've had around here since October. And I think it'll culminate in a 71 or 72 degree high on Saturday, it looks like, with a lot of rain Sunday, but not until then. We have a little shower perhaps in spots tomorrow, but some gorgeous weather. And we're going to make this our third 60 degree day today. This is the fewest 60 degree days we've had up to this point in the year in 21 years around here. And only about 19 of the last 144 years have gone this deeply into a year and had only two 60s to the year's credit. Now, today we'll make three, and we'll keep that string going tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but turn sharply colder Sunday night. And this looks like one of these situations that we've got to watch because you could lay out an accumulating snow band.
Oh, no.
And that would probably set up just north of us, but we're close enough to keep an eye on it, like Sunday night, Monday sometime. And that could cut across southern Wisconsin, maybe parts of northern Illinois. But it all goes to show we're not out of the woods totally yet. But then the temperatures bounce back after that again. So what you're seeing is these cold spells are not, you know, parking around here the way they have been for the last 6 months.
As I mentioned to you yesterday, I looked at my rubber shoes and said, maybe that's it for the season. I can put them away. And now you're telling me, not so fast.
You know what? Look, first of all, the lake is warming up. It's averaging about 40 degrees. So if you have wind off that, that's going to mix the snow up with rain right there, or try to. The only way you get it to snow is produce incredible storm dynamics. In other words, lift generated by the storm itself. That cools the air and can get snow to form, even though the air mass may not even start out at freezing. But you really got to get a powerful storm going to do that, and you can sometimes do it. We've had these April snowstorms. But I don't think this is going to last. And then it melts right away, you know, because you warm up after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was talking to Bob about that Dave Clark 5 special last night.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen that.
They're going to repeat it. They always do.
Yeah.
But you realize how many people got ripped off in the 60s. These groups didn't know anything about the business.
Oh, yeah.
And the millions and millions of dollars that went into other pockets except theirs.
Yeah.
Except Dave
Clark. I didn't realize McCartney. You said McCartney didn't own his
talent.
Still
doesn't own his publishing.
Wow. That's amazing.
They sold it. He said in this, they interviewed him as part of this last night. He said, any piece of paper they put in front of us, we just signed it. Even back then, you would think, come on, it wasn't like contracts were a brand new thing. Wouldn't you at least read over it or have a lawyer look at it? But no, they just figured their manager was taking care of them.
Well, I suppose, you know, Gary, it's such work to to develop a group like that and to, you know, just to be on the road and do what they do, perform, they probably didn't think to do it.
Okay, well, that's why to this day he sits there and says, I don't own my publishing. All that stuff I wrote, somebody else is making money off.
Remember Michael Jackson? Didn't he buy the whole Beatles?
Yes, then he was in debt, so he gave part of it to his record company, and I think they own the majority of it now.
Yeah, maybe now he's earning more money in death than he did in life.
Yeah, because he's not there to spend it all. He would just be spending like a crazy fool on that amusement park in his backyard. I heard that cost $5 million a year to maintain.
Wow. I can believe it.
Yeah, you know, when I get a lot of money, the first thing I want to do is put a Ferris wheel in my backyard and a llama.
Right.
What the?
Well, you know, when I saw that that Michael Jackson show out in Las Vegas, I'm sure the estate gets
money
from that.
Yes, the estate's going to get nice and fat at some point after they pay off all
and
his debts.
And it was wonderful. I mean, it's really, look at that movie they made out of his tour that never came off, and yet they took video from preparing for that tour and made it into a pretty compelling movie.
Well, they do list what these dead stars are making.
Yeah, like Elvis.
Their estates. And they're making as much or more in some cases than when they were alive.
Yeah, I know.
Because now they've got people that know how to manage their image.
Right.
And the estate is getting nice and wealthy.
Yeah, well, they've done the hard work. They've established the image. You know, that's where these groups, when they were young, might be forgiven for it not having the business acumen, although these days you wouldn't think anybody would do that.
But the other side of the coin is these people that were on TV shows in the 60s, and these shows are running constantly now, and they're sitting at home, probably in a one-bedroom or a studio apartment because they got no residuals.
I know.
They didn't know
and that wasn't written back then about residuals. They didn't know there would be DVDs and all the other platforms.
Well, how about all these cable channels and all? Could you have imagined that? Or our computers. We can download this stuff on computers.
And if you were on Gilligan's Island and you're sitting there and watching this thing run four times a day, and your residuals ran out 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You got $13 for the third showing, and then you're out, and then you couldn't really get any other work. And that's not our problem, Tom.
No, it's
we're just going to enjoy the day. That's what we're going to do.
We are, Gary, and I. Yeah, this is the weather we've been waiting for.
2 months ago, this is right. The day we said, "Wow, when we get one of these, we'll just remember the bad for a few hours and then move on." And I'm starting to forget the bad.
Yeah, see that? That's good.
That's right.
I think you you did an admirable job getting through the winter.
Yeah, I almost, there were a couple times privately I almost cracked. I'll be honest with you. I have to admit, I was pacing.
Well, you had Elton there to, you know, administer the light.
Because you're right, I go, well, at least I'm not Baba Bibble. That was my backup. That's where you're going to get a safety net, a feel good.
Yeah. Well, we were looking out for you, Gary. We don't want anything to happen to
you. Well, thank you, Tom.
I mean, you're the big attraction here, so I, you know, we're just riding on your
And I'm going to leave you on this.
Coat sleeves. Yeah.
With this text.
Yeah. Tom, coattails.
Tom
yes.
is a modern-day Walt Whitman. He never met a man he didn't like. that was Mark Twain, wasn't it?
Is that right? I know
Phil Rogers.
Will Rogers.
Phil
was on Channel 5.
But I think he said that, too, once. He said that to Allison Rosati.
Or was it Roy Rogers?
I don't think Phil's ever met a guy he does like.
I think it's Aaron Rodgers.
Or was it Rodgers and Hammerstein?
That's one of those.
Well, you know.
Tom does have a hate list, and one day I'm going to coax him to get it on the air. I want you to do that, because let's just let it out.
Gary, when I go... You know, you're no longer going to go postal in this country. You're going to go weather.
Attaboy. I like the way you set that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, today, this is it because I will be done at 5. Steve Cochran is at the United Center to take it up to Hawks.
And tomorrow we're doing the stream,
We're going to start on the stream at WGNradio.com, so I will have you probably on the phone.
Sounds good.
And we'll figure that out.
Yeah,
all right?
Why don't they've got to get this mic hooked in.
Yeah, we'll get all that figured out.
All right.
Okay, have a great night.
You too.
Okay, Super G. Gary Meyer on the 50,000-watt yapper. 25th caller right now at 312-591-7000. We'll get the Basement Watchdog AM-FM NOAA Weather Alert Radio. Valued at $80, this AM-FM radio receives emergency alerts and warnings to notify you of approaching tornadoes, floods, hazards, and other severe weather. Always nice to have that in the middle of the night if something's approaching. It pops on and tells you to grab your ankles. 25th caller, 312-591-7000. We'll get that. And Jill.
Oh, hi, Gary.
Hello.
Yeah, you were talking about showbiz people and getting cheated and that. And I had just read that Mickey Rooney's estate, which he gave to his stepson, who was caring for him, $18,000. And he'd worked since he was in silent movies.
Right. This guy, he started when he was, I think, 8 years old. He died at 93. Mm-hmm. Here's $18,000. Heck, I could help the kid better than that. And I wasn't making nearly what Mickey's made.
Maybe that's why it was a
little... My fifth wife, Barbara, was murdered.
Murdered.
Oh.
What, he had, by my accounting of his different wives, and they listed them and his offspring, he must have had 7 or 8 kids. Why are these stepkids involved? And he had sued them, a couple of them, too.
How many biological kids does he have?
I counted about 7 or 8 when I was trying to total up all his marriages. And you hear about the stepkids, he had sued them because they were, according to him, abusing him and taking his money. And he did win a settlement of $2.8 million. I read that. And then the one kid was good to him, so he gave him all of $18,000.
And they said he was supposed to be knighted in the museum 3. You'd think he'd make more than that just for...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, don't count other people's money, as they say.
Yeah. That's a lot of alimony checks.
There you go. And yeah, 7, 8 marriages doesn't help. Thanks, Jill.
Although, you know, hey, he went out, he spent all his money.
I don't blame him for that. Although he claims that he didn't have any at the end when he made the stepkids pay, finally, he had to sue them. To get some money. But why are they in the picture when, like I said, he had about 7 or 8 kids of his own?
Where are they? Have you ever heard about Mickey Jr.?
Well, you know, a lot of these Hollywood fathers, you know, a lot of estranged children.
Yep.
He was never home.
That's right. Always too busy working.
He was busy making Bill and Santa Claus Is Coming to Town and Black Stallion.
And Boys Town 7. I guess he was too young to be starting then because he was 12, wasn't he? All right, whatever age he started making kids.
Those Andy Hardy movies. You know that somebody's still making money off all those movies,
sure.
too.
Again, you're sitting there, and the way the contracts are written, you didn't know, and nobody's going to tell you, and you don't get a dime 30, 40, 50 years later. I Love Lucy makes, I think it's between 10 and 20 million for CBS every year because they own all the shows, hasn't had a new episode in 50-some years.
And sadly, you know, they own, and you know, they were smart because they had Desilu, which made and produced those. But then in the early 70s, she sold Desilu.
I remember the number for $18 million.
Yeah, some ridiculous number. So, you know, Lucy and Desi Jr. are like, what the heck did you do, Ma?
Right. And she was not that old at that point.
No.
And she was on the board of the company and still.
Definitely.
All right. Give me $18 million. You can have it.
Yeah, man.
Did you have a story, Steve, about this waitress serving young kids booze by mistake?
I didn't do it. I haven't done it yet on your show. But now they say that the kids didn't seem to drink any booze.
Well, then why did they report to the hospital sick?
They don't know that yet, but they...
They did go to the hospital, right?
Well, they went to the hospital, yeah. I don't know if how sick they were, if parents were concerned, but police say that the kids showed no signs of drinking any alcohol, and it was an accident. There's no... Investigation's closed. The ordeal's over.
Isn't it odd that in the last, say, 2 or 3 years, we hear about this story now, a story like this, every 6 months, it seems like a waitress has served young kids alcohol by mistake. And before that, never seemed to happen. Why is it happening now? I know they have these guns behind the bar. You press one, it's Coca-Cola. The other's Jägermeister? They're not in the same gun, right? The booze shouldn't be in the same gun.
It's not in the gun at all.
And is it a different spigot in there? Does it block where the Coca-Cola comes out of? Because wouldn't it taste like part of other drinks?
It's never in the spigot.
Some of them are those tasty, fruity, freezy drinks. And I could see where you'd get the two confused. There's a restaurant with a wall of margaritas, and it looks like if I were a 5-year-old kid, it looks like heaven with all those things swirling and looking fruity delicious.
But yeah, am I right in saying that these stories keep coming around where there's a waitress that mistakes booze or Coca-Cola for booze and serves the kids?
You know, what waitress hasn't fallen asleep on the job?
No. Running a train.
Boy, we need to get some more sleep, everybody.
You know, but there's probably a time back in the day when it happened. It was like, whoops, shouldn't have done that. Let's move on.
Yeah, one even made a big deal about it, maybe. Now everybody's,
right.
My kid's going to become an alcoholic.
You mean the kids actually enjoyed it and didn't say anything?
You know, come on, how many times did you ever hear people, my dad gave me a beer when I was 7?
I know, but that was per your father's request, not the waitress making a mistake. You're saying, Steve, that these kids did not ingest any booze?
That seemed to be what they were saying. Now, the police will not be investigating further, they say. They showed, let me see, it was an accident. The waitress admitted it. I read somewhere where it said the kids showed no signs of having actually, no trace of alcohol was found in the 13 children.
About how old were they? Do we know?
I think there was at least one 6-year-old, so it was a birthday party, so they're probably mostly around there. It was like a fruit punch, you know, that they were served, so.
Like a Shirley Temple.
And that is non-alcoholic, right?
Right, yeah. Right. That's the whole idea. You get a Shirley Temple.
Hey, you put your kid on a plane, you give him Benadryl.
well, I don't know if you do.
No, Shirley Bassey, that's got alcohol, right?
Yeah, that's
Shirley Bassey. I've never heard of that. What is that?
Isn't there a Shirley Bassey?
Yeah, she's a singer, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I was trying to think about
it. She's a little edgier.
Shirley Booth.
Shirley Booth.
A Shirley Booth.
Or a Shirley Jones.
Is that Hazel?
Shirley Jones. Those are all alcoholic-driven. Alcohol-driven.
Shirley MacLaine.
If you start at 6, Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine.
That for sure would make you hallucinate. Because that's what she does, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, she thinks she's going to different planes of existence.
Exactly.
She's just been reborn several times.
You can text me at 24/7/20. You're listening to the 50,000-watt mothership. And last week was the first foray into the stream and had a good time. It's a little different if you just like talking.
No holds barred.
talking and talking with no commercial interruption, that's the way to go. Although the commercials pay the bills, so I'm not trying to throw them under the bus.
Hey, maybe tomorrow, if you have Tom on via phone, you could have him drop an F-bomb.
Okay. There's my selling point.
I missed it last week.
Skilling drops the F-bomb.
Yeah, I mean, tease that. At 307.
Skilling goes F-bomb.
Maybe half of his hate list. Give us a couple.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the expression in Chicago be throwing you under the blue line? Because I think that's fresher, and we all know that image, the headlight coming towards the escalator. Let's go with that. I got this text, and I'm not quite sure if it's entirely correct, but it says that a birthday party for those 10-year-olds, and there was a 6-year-old, according to Steve, was at 9 p.m. What are 10-year-olds doing at a birthday party at 9 p.m.?
Getting liquored up. What do they think? Well,
that's when the party starts.
Yeah, I guess.
What are you doing? What do you
mean? If, in fact, there was a 6-year-old, too, is you know, 9 too late?
You don't want them drinking before 5.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Okay.
That's what they were doing.
That's when the rave starts.
These are kids whose birth, or what do you call it, their parents? Birth showers were at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because we've had those any number of times where the baby shower starts at midnight and then the trouble starts around 2.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about those get-togethers. 4 or 5 a.m., trouble started for a kid's birthday party. What the heck birthday party is happening all night? I think there's your first problem.
Oh, they're starting younger now, Gary.
Starting what younger? Violence?
Partying.
I can pinpoint, when you look at these stories and they start to outline the number of shot and this and that, and then you see, oh, at 3:45 a.m., well, there's your problem right there. Let me say 95% of all bad stuff happens between midnight and 5 a.m.
But those 3 o'clock pin the tail on the donkey games are awesome.
Because you're a little tired and you start jabbing the pin
on
a person.
You should see people bobbing for apples at 4 a.m.
Yeah, your head, you fall asleep in the big barrel.
Big tub.
The big tub. And Big Tub, I'm sure, is a nickname of some of the people attending.
And forget about musical chairs.
No.
That's off the charts.
You can't perform properly.
Oh, my God. Everybody's laying across them.
These are the days I'd love to go invisible and just see how all this goes down, because I will never be invited to a midnight to 5 a.m. party. I'm pretty sure of that. I'd love to go and just watch,
right.
See how this all comes about, what people are doing, why they're doing it at this hour. And if you've ever seen the Woody Allen movie Alice, they did have some Chinese herb shop that they visited that had this herb that made you invisible.
Which is very cool.
Yeah. And one of the guys, I can't remember the actors in
that. Joe Montana was in
that. Was he the one that went into Elle McPherson's dressing room? If you remember the movie, he goes to this clothing shop and Elle McPherson's in the dressing room trying clothes on and he goes in there invisible. So you can do whatever you want.
If there's gunplay, could you still get hit? Or would it go right through?
I think you are right. You're invisible and unable to be penetrated by anything.
Oh, because, yeah, as soon as somebody gets kicked out of the party is when the gunplay usually starts.
I always think that, too, and it always happens that way. Somebody's kicked out, and then 20 minutes
back.
Later, he comes back. If I'm at the party and somebody's kicked out, I'm leaving, too, right at that moment, because I know this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
No, let him stay. He seems edgy.
Yeah.
And they never come with the gun, but they go home and get it.
They go home and get it. Or out to the car, wherever they leave it. Jeez, I wonder when we had the nightclub and we had a dress code and you're not letting people in, I'm thinking, who knows how liquored up they are and if they'll come back. And that's where I kind of went upstairs and hid after they kicked some people out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's when I went upstairs and locked the door.
With your Chess King tie.
Yeah. Chess King.
Good. I thought there was some kind of a
In fact.
Dress. What was the dress code at Sabrina?
They just didn't want athletic shoes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And after a while, I went, hey, I don't care if they're naked. Let's get going here. I've got an investment to make back. Dress code. They're drinking. Who cares?
It was the same as the Baja Beach Club, right?
Yes. But they were packing them in for some reason. I hated that when a club opened and then we go by there, there's a line outside. What the heck? What are they doing? There was some debate about getting a cigarette machine. Some people didn't want it. And I go, I don't care what people do. This is when you could smoke inside a building like that. I said, I'm not their moral compass. Let them smoke. Do we make a percentage off the machine? Yeah. All right, get it in here.
People come here to get drunk fast.
Yeah, and I don't
want
to.
I want you two out of here.
Right.
Get me. I'm giving away wings.
I don't care
You're
what
like
they
Nick.
Do. Yeah. We don't want to sell cigarettes. That's bad. Really? I don't care.
What, make them drink more?
Yeah, like,
then sell more.
Like booze is good for you. How do you divide cigarettes from booze at some point? It's all in the same hole. Let it happen. Well, everybody's choice.
You were ruthless.
I was. I was becoming Jack Ruby. Just walking around.
You want a coaster with that drink?
Yeah.
Who cares?
What the heck's going on
here? Let's get some bodies in here.
You wanted to host little kids' birthday parties,
yeah, I did
didn't
at one
you?
Point.
Yeah, six is young, but not 10. Let's go.
Get the schools. Let's bring the schools in. Maybe we can do something, a juice party, something like that. We did have Cher there one night. They had a deal where she came in, and the company that represented whatever that deal was, they were looking for a place, and we were able to bring her in.
So you were like doing a Paris Hilton of the day.
Yeah.
You know, you were like having some cool person hang
right.
out.
Right. There's Cher.
Yeah.
At least Cher is here. But where's my share of my investment?
She wasn't drinking, though, probably.
No. They don't do anything when they go. They don't touch anything. They just are.
So you had a little secret room in the top?
There was just this little, it was like a private room. And you'd go up there and.
Did you have a window you could watch?
Yeah, could you look down on the people?
Yes.
Could see your investment slowly falling?
Trying to see who's which bartender was taking money.
You were the eye in the sky like in Vegas.
Yeah, a lot of good it did me.
The Alan Parsons Project out there.
312-981-7200. Mike.
Hey, Gary, I don't know if you guys saw this headline. I just saw it online. It has to do with a comment made by the woman who's the drug enforcement head. She's making a statement that she's against legalizing marijuana because she's concerned that puppies might eat food, particularly brownies, that have marijuana cooked into them.
Are you serious, Clark?
I'm dead serious. Hold on, if you want to. Hold on, work with me here. I should have put here. Here's what it says. Here's the headline. DEA Chief Michelle Lonhart testified to the House Appropriations Subcommittee claiming marijuana legalization will put house pets at risk of dying from digesting edible products.
That's her biggest concern, that a puppy eats a marijuana brownie.
Headline of this article, marijuana legalization will kill puppies, according to DEA.
Are you reading The Onion? That sounds like a fake headline.
This is from the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur and these guys. This is a very legitimate post. You're going to see this around.
Right.
I'm sure John Stewart's going to have a ball with something like this tonight.
I will look that up and see if I can delve further into that. Thank you, Mike. We got Young Turks. Are there any old Turks? Do you become an old Turk?
No.
Just young.
You're just
a young Turk.
You're an old man.
What were you going to say, Leslie?
Does that mean we have to make dark chocolate illegal? Because that kills puppies,
too. Yeah, chocolate is very lethal to dogs, right?
Is it just dark?
I think poinsettias are deadly to some pets.
And is it dark chocolate only?
Especially. The darker the chocolate, the more dangerous it is.
Yeah, but we couldn't buy the poinsettias at Christmas because when we had our cat, because if she chewed on it, that would be poisonous. So now what do? Get rid of poinsettias at Christmas?
Yes. That's quite a campaign. Fox is going to have a ball with that.
What she said.
You can't say Merry Christmas and you can't have poinsettias? No bloviating. Super G.